Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim. We are a father and son movie review podcast. Each week we watch three movies and then talk about them. This week it's Barbarella, The Last Man on Earth, and 2001, A Space Odyssey. That's right, we are doing the 60s this week. We're available everywhere podcasts are. So whatever your platform of choice is, please listen, rate, review, tell a friend, all that good stuff. We have a website, podcastnamedtim.com. You can go there and see every movie we've ever reviewed, and there's links to every review we've done. There's also a book, or it's kind of like a book club called Movie Podcaster Club. So if you're a movie podcaster and you want to join our movie club, again, like a book club, you watch movies two each week, join that. And last thing is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to hit us up on social media, I am Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir?
This evening, I am fantastic.
Yes, we're you know, it's funny. We're filming or recording on a Friday evening. Normally, I'm starting the first movie of the week to record for a Sunday at this point. So I was on top of things this week for once. Very excited. I can tell you right now, I did not watch a lot of other things this week. Didn't watch a lot of sports. They weren't on. But for reasons in the world, but we don't get into the real world here. We're here for the fantastic world because it's more enjoyable. Just watched the movies for this week. Watched a little bit of Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. I think I'm going to watch a little bit of that tonight, and one of your movies that you're going to be watching for the future as well. So, not that, but something else. What about you?
Been rewatching Curb Your Enthusiasm for some reason. Well, it's getting ready to have a new season. You know, it went away for a long time, and then it came back for a couple, and then went away, and now it's back again. And I don't think I watched when it came back that second time. I don't think I watched it. Not for any particular reason. I just missed it. So I was going to start from there. And I was like, nah, let's just get the feel. We're watching, Alex is going through his first viewing of Seinfeld. So we're into like the fifth or sixth season of that. That we're watching. So I thought, good companion piece. I'll watch, Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I had forgotten how damn funny that show is, how well sure. done that is, how hilarious Larry David is. And, it might be better than Seinfeld.
That is a bold statement, sir.
It's pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Thank you.
what else?
And I guess... There is some big news in the world. I think since we last talked, the vast majority of movie theaters are open again. So I don't know how many people are going. I believe Tenet, Christopher Nolan's newest film, is opening this weekend. I will be very curious to see the numbers on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually Facebook friends with a lot of actors, and, they're not hearing things from their people that they think is going to be a very successful opening. We're opening up here. I think the next weekend, I think that our local dinner theater, the one that actually serves dinner and has the nicer experience, but they're still trying. I mean, you gotta buy your seats ahead of time, and you can only have so many people together, and I don't know, they're going to leave like every other row empty, and I don't know. It's going to be weird, but I guess some money's better than no money.
That's true. Do we know if Tenet is being streamed as well, or is it just in theaters?
I have no clue.
Okay. I was not sure about that.
I'll watch David Tennant no matter where he is. So.
Yeah, that's true.
It is about him, right? It's a biopic about David Tennant.
That would be great. I'd watch that. About? I'm sure it's probably some overcomplicated plot that no one's going to understand.
Well, you know, it is, anyway.
It goes actually, to be fair, and we can compare them to something later, I think Nolan does a good job overall of making, in some respect, faux complex movies. They're not
Didn't see
really
that.
that. I mean,
Didn't you
everyone acts
trash
like
the
it's them.
Batman movies last week?
I said that they're overrated.
Okay, now take yourself as a director, writer, producer of a movie, and someone tells you, "Hey, it's good, but it's overrated." All
It
you
is
heard
overrated.
was, "Fuck you, you made a piece of shit."
Look, here's the thing with the Nolan Batman movies. I don't like the Hummer H whatever that I don't like the Batmobile. I don't like the Scarecrow to be a guy with a sack on his head. I like him to look like a fucking Scarecrow. Just
Yeah.
that's
Did
my
he
thing.
do Memento?
He did Memento,
That's what I
which
thought.
is great.
That's still my favorite. I love Memento. I need to watch that again. That's a great movie.
Yeah, he did Memento. I mean, The Prestige, which is my favorite Nolan movie.
That's good.
You've got all the Batmans. You've got Inception, which is
Good
great.
movie.
Interstellar, which is
Interstellar, I didn't care for.
I liked Interstellar, and we'll get to that later because I think it has some things connected to another
All
movie
right.
today. But yeah, I mean, he's got a good and Dunkirk, which I never saw.
Dunkirk, I did like. I forgot he had done that. But
And that's
that's kind of one of those movies where it's, I mean, it's about the impossible small group of people beating the, so it was kind of, it's kind of hard to say you don't like it without looking like a complete prick. So
and he wrote the story for one of the best modern DC films, The Man of Steel.
think that's one of the best, eh?
I like Man of Steel.
Trying to, again, like we talked about, it's just I'm so watered down with them now. I can't remember which one's which one.
Yeah.
I know what I've spent all my time doing this week.
What did you spend your time doing?
Putting videos up on our YouTube channel. Do people know we have a
You.
YouTube channel? We have a YouTube
That's
channel.
right.
We
We
do.
do have a YouTube
It
channel.
wasn't,
And
we weren't, we had it, we weren't really using it, and we decided, I think the kids do this thing called YouTube. So I, and I came to you and you were like, "Well, yeah, duh." So I was like, "All right, well, let's see what we can do."
when are we setting up a TikTok?
I have a TikTok set up as well. And I'm putting some of
Wow.
the videos up on that and I'm getting some followers already. And they keep
Wow.
wanting me to either do the prank, some pranks, or to do a dance routine, which of course the dance routine's not going to happen, but I might do some of the pranks.
Anyway, we do have a YouTube channel. We are trying to do more with that.
The
With my
YouTube.
YouTube, because
Yeah.
we tube, and then they can tube.
I don't know. It's some YouTube thing. I don't know. You go on there and you watch videos and things. I
Yeah, and maybe we'll do some Facebook Live stuff too. I don't know. We're working on becoming, I don't want to say professional, just not pieces of shit.
don't know.
How about that?
Yeah,
Oh
whatever.
man. Okay. Well,
I
good
have a
stuff. Well,
reputation to uphold.
yes. We're like my favorite fantasy football podcast. We're mediocre and we don't have hustle here.
Hey, look, I'm even wearing a collared shirt today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, very fancy.
I have no pants on, but I'm wearing a collared shirt.
Okay. Well, I'm sitting here with a glass of wine, so I'm enjoying my Friday evening.
I can't reach my
But
drink,
let's
but it's
go ahead and
non-alcoholic.
non-alcoholic. Let's go ahead and start with our first movie, Barbarella. But before we do that, let's take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. Barbarella came out in 1968, has an improved rating.
I came out in
You
1968.
came out in
I did.
1968. That
Woo!
explains some. 1 hour and 38 minute runtime, a 5.9 on the IMDb score, a 72 on the tomato meter, a 56 from the audience, which I figured those would have been inverse. Directed by Roger Vadim, Stars Jane Fonda, John Philip Law, Anita Pallenberg, Milo O'Shea, etc. It stars Jane Fonda. That's the only person that anyone cares about from this movie. Of course, Barbarella is an astronaut from the 41st century, and she set out to find the scientist Duran Duran, and who has a positronic ray and wants to make sure that it doesn't get into the hands of evil. You had never seen Barbarella, and I had seen it once. It was your recommendation for the week, but since you had never seen it, I would like to hear your opinion first.
Wow. It was, the 70s started earlier than I knew they had started. I don't even know what I was watching, to be honest. I think I've seen some weird movies, but that was pretty, 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 pretty bad. It was interesting. I mean, I never heard this was a good movie. I just had always heard science fiction and people of the 60s and all saying, you got to watch that movie. So they considered I don't think you got to watch this movie.
I disagree.
Well, I figured you would.
I'm not saying it's a good movie, but I think it is a movie you should watch.
I don't even really remember that much about it. I'll tell you what I can remember. I can remember Jane Fonda's legs, because I have never looked at Jane Fonda and thought, she was looking pretty good in this.
Well, she wasn't chained to a tank or something.
She still can't act her way out of a paper bag. I mean, she's horrible. I was quite thrown that Marcel Marceau was in it, so I had no idea Marcel Marceau was going to be in it. I didn't understand half of it. I thought it was really, really bad.
Is it supposed to be bad, though? Are they in on the joke? That is the question.
I don't know. Were they doing that at this time? I thought at this time they were just kind of dropping acid and making whatever movie that they wanted to make. I don't know. So you think it was meant to be tongue-in-cheek? It was meant to be bad?
I think so in some respects. To me, I think it was, we're going to take, the Buck Rogers, that era of comic strip and serial, which this was at the same time, and we're going to ham it up on purpose. We're going to use that and do that same thing and ham it up. Now, that doesn't mean it worked.
So it's camp. You think it's camp?
I think it's camp. And I think it is a cult classic.
Cult?
Yes, I think it's cult. I think it's a cult classic. I think it is a movie you absolutely 1,000% should watch once in your life, because
never again.
Maybe.
And then watch the better version of it, Demolition Man.
There was some Demolition Man things.
Come on! When I was watching, I was like, "Oh wow, this is so." I see what they watched and stole this from. The whole thing was completely Demolition Man.
I really enjoy
bottle fluids. Ooh.
Yeah, take a pill.
No.
So here's what I'll say. It's obviously very famous for the opening credit sequence of Jane Fonda just stripping down in zero G, and a very catchy theme. I appreciated the theme song and the music of this movie. I thought was of the time. That's my other thing. This is a movie that knew what it was and embraced it. It was a fully realized idea. We're camp. We're of the 60s, and we're just going to embrace it. So that's, I appreciated it in that regard. You've got the over the top, direct in your face, just hippie propaganda, like, right. War is bad and love. What, I'm a savage because I have these weapons. Just, it was, I don't know what the hell was going on with the spaceship. Here's the main thing I don't get about the
What was
spaceship.
that thing?
First of all, the outside looked like shit.
Yeah.
But you want to do the fur carpets, fine. That's fine. What I didn't get was the painting that was in the background, which is a
Yeah.
famous painting. I didn't get that connection. It seemed out of place. I don't know. Some of my favorite scenes, I loved the scene where she gets captured by the evil twins, and then they unleash the evil dolls on her, and the evil dolls are just walking towards her and chopping. That's hilarious.
That was okay. That was amusing. I was amused by
That was
that.
hilarious. When the guy, when she gets saved by the guy in the giant fur suit, the look he gives when he decides he wants some, and the fact that he undoes his fur suit and is still the hairiest man alive, that's hilarious. That's what I'm saying. There's like some good humor in here. I didn't care for Pygar. I thought the whole "I'm an angel and angels forget" that was lame.
Yeah, he looked like Eddie, the creation from Rocky Horror Picture Show that they put wings on.
Yes, he did. That they should have just cast him.
Now they add this has added a moment that I'm sorry I missed in history though. There's those moments I wish I'd been there when he planted the flag on the moon, and I wish I'd have been there when MacArthur gave his "I'll be back" speech, and there's a ton of other things I wish. I now have added a new one. I am so wish I had been sitting in the room right next to Henry Fonda when they showed him this fine piece of work that his daughter put out.
That's true.
Can you imagine Henry's reaction to "Your daughter is following in your footsteps, Henry. You're one of the great actors of our time, and here's her first movie. Sit down here and watch it with me." And
Not
then
our
they
first movie.
turned that on. That's not her first movie? Her first
Yeah.
starring movie, right?
Is it? I don't know. It's close to.
Yeah, I bet he was just a proud papa that day.
There were some other things I liked. I liked the Blackguard design. That was cool. And I
Careful.
thought it was hilarious. Well, not hilarious. Yeah, it was hilarious. Here's why it has to be camp and they have to be on the joke. At the end of the movie, the big bad, the big boss, at the climax of the movie, pun intended, is a casket machine that you play with a piano that is an orgasm death machine.
Yes.
You can't write that. I mean, someone wrote it,
Right.
but
Just
it's
like I was
just that's
watching the sequel to Tommy.
but better. This is better than Tommy. This is better than Tommy.
This is not better than Tommy because at least Tommy had Pinball Wizard in it.
Oh, I disagree. Did you know? Switch to trivia real quick. The password that they said, which is a really long word.
Yeah.
Did you look up the pass the trivia about that?
I did not look it up. I did see that it was like LGG, and it's like 10,000 letters, but I didn't look up anything about it, no.
It's the name of a real village in Wales.
Ah. In
It's
Wales.
it. It's that's a real place.
Maybe it's where Tom Jones is from.
Maybe his last name is that. He's named
So
after Daniel.
I didn't know one thing. I didn't know this was a French comic book.
I did not know that either until I looked up this time. I thought they had just hammed it up on purpose and were trying to make like I said, a Buck Rogers, whatever. But
Right.
that is a French comic that was a female thing. And we should note, this is the first. Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, they only got serials. This is the first one of those to get a theatrical release,
Really?
a full actual movie.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of the original comics and see exactly what I don't know. By the end of it, I was just kind of tired of it. It was like, okay, this is just a little too much of the same. It was the same kind of thing over and over again.
Oh yeah, meet guy, have joke about sex, have sex.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I'm glad I watched it because now I don't have to say when people ask me if I've ever seen Barbarella. And say, yeah, I saw it.
Can
And then
I can I
quickly
make
stab them in the brain.
can I make a probably unpopular statement?
Sure.
I think they should remake Barbarella.
Well, Disney should, of course.
Yes, I think there's enough here to work with to ham it up and be funny.
Well, I don't want them to ham it up though. See, I want a kick-ass Barbarella. I want a sexy kick-ass diva Barbarella, like Beyoncé Knowles playing her, or somebody, you know. Actually, I'll tell you know who I'm going to go with because of the long legs and the sexiness. Amy Pond, yeah, Karen Gillan. I want to see her play it. I'll buy tickets for that.
Because she can do humor and she can do kick ass.
She can, but but I don't want it campy. I mean, yeah, I don't want it campy. I want it. I don't want it all the way to Marvel, but I don't want it. I don't know. I got a vision of it, but I can't quite tell you what I'm wanting.
So, if someone were to ask you, should I watch Barbara? The long and short of it, what would you say?
Only if you got some mushrooms. If you got some shrooms first, knock yourself out.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy, excuse me, it's bad. It's something you have to.
See, Ken told me that about Flash Gordon over and over again, and I finally watched that, and I've kind of felt the same dirtiness after watching this that I felt after Flash Gordon.
Okay.
So, yeah, go ahead and watch it. Why not? It's a classical name. It's just 60s. Again, that's why I picked it. I just had always heard this connected with the 60s. I wish I'd have gone with my first movie, but that's all right. We got this.
I think this is of the times, much more than the other movie you had suggested.
Yes.
That's timeless.
I agree.
So,
And it was
okay.
either that or watch Yellow Submarine again.
Whoo, never. Never. Okay, well, let's skip to our next movie. Oh, I forgot to ask before we do that, did you like the music? I enjoyed the music. I know I said that, but I like the music.
You know what, since I don't remember it, I guess not.
Barbarella, Barbarella, Barbarella.
Oh no. That's right. That's when Alex ran in and rustled the ice pick that was going into my eardrum out of my hand.
Probably
That's probably a no on that.
no. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and go to my recommendation for the week. The Last Man on Earth. Came out in 1964, has a not rated, has 1 hour and 26 minute runtime, 6.9 on IMDb, and 80 on the tomato meter, 69 from the audience score. Of course, stars one Vincent Price, and it tell basically humanity is raptured in disease. And everyone dies, but then they come back as the living dead, and it's kind of a weird mix between vampires and zombies. We can get into that. And he's the last man on Earth, and he is looking for a cure and hunting them down, try just surviving day to day, baby. What did you think of The Last Man on Earth?
I watched this years ago, actually a couple times, I'm pretty sure. This is not the movie I remember at all. I don't know. I thought when you first said it, I was like, oh yeah. I remember this movie. Yeah, apparently I didn't. I remembered it being a lot better.
I enjoyed it.
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it.
Did
I
you
didn't
prefer
enjoy it.
it when they just made it as I Am Legend?
No, because I didn't really care for that either.
Is it just not a concept you like?
Keep your plague movies in one corner and your zombie movies in the other corner and your apocalyptic movies in this corner. And don't try to jam them all in together and then throw some vampires on top of it. Let's keep everybody... I don't know. That I don't need that all together, I guess. At least that's the way I felt. I felt like they were just throwing in too much. Like, just, you know, the guy is the last person on Earth, so he thinks. And... of course, they're always going to end up with there's one other, you know, all of a sudden you find one person and you think that that's going to be somebody, and then it always ends up being the people that I didn't really understand exactly the big deal about killing him.
Because he was killing them, pretty much. Because I think they said, like...
No. I don't know. It was a little strange. I didn't dislike it, but I don't think I liked it as much as I did a long time ago. And it might have been just the time I was in my Vincent Price phase.
Vincent Price is great. This is our first Vincent Price film. As
it
we,
is.
You know,
it is. Which I'm shocked. But there's better Vincent Price movies. He wasn't Vince Pricey enough.
He was a little toned down in this. I will say he has... the limpest wrist I've ever seen, because his little like fake hammer of the stake was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. I did enjoy it. I liked it.
He was bisexual, so maybe that's some other.
Just, you know, well, he should have good wrist then. It was not... I liked it. I liked a lot of concepts brought up. I thought the idea of these vampire, zombie, whatever they were, how they were now building their own society and found their own way to deal with the disease, I thought that was fascinating. It is normally not really discussed in a lot of these types of movies. Normally, like I Am Legend, they're just a weird animal and they haven't evolved to that point yet.
Right.
They were kind of getting there in I Am Legend, but we weren't there. But I like that as an idea, because it wasn't normally. It would be like, we found a colony, and you know, there's a colony you gotta get to. Well, the issue is the colony is the bad guys. So I thought that was interesting.
It might have been also. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
During this is the wrong time to watch this, because I kind of saw this movie. This kind of movie depressed me a little bit. It kind of put me in kind of a bad place. So normally, if this wasn't going on outside, I might have enjoyed that depression, because I don't mind a movie putting me depression or sad or happier. That's what a movie's supposed to do. It should draw something out of me. It doesn't always have to be rolling in the aisles laughing. I don't mind crying in a movie. I don't mind, you know, feeling completely like, oh my God, this is depressing. As long as when I turn it off, the world is a... I'm not walking outside going, I'm not going anywhere, because I could end up being in the same shit this guy's in. So maybe that could have been it. This might have just been a movie that the tone was not the right time for me.
I 1,000% agree with you. This movie, and maybe that's the strength of this movie, to be honest, and how good it is that it does. It felt real. And it could just be of the time, but, you know... When the mom decided to call the doctor, despite the fact that he told her not to call the doctor,
right,
that was a great movie moment. And
the whole internal dialogue really added to it too.
Yeah, a little bit too much, a little too heavy.
It was too much, but it kind of added to it to me, because it just... I mean, that's what you'd be doing if you're by yourself. You'd be just complaining. I would hope you wouldn't be completely talking out loud. You'd just be... I mean, it reminded me. I told Amy, she said something about... she didn't watch it with me, but I said something to her about it. And I was like, she came in and said, you know, she didn't like movies that had all that in internal dialogue. I said, well, welcome to the carnival in my head when the lights go out to go to sleep. This is what I deal with on a nightly basis. I deal with it all day, but it doesn't, until I'm in the dark and try to go to sleep, does it bug me. So welcome to the show.
The other thing is, and maybe this is, we can discuss this. If I know it's vampire, it says vampires, but to me, this is a zombie movie. Because they might be called vampires,
right,
but they are acting as we would associate zombies.
Right. They're plague zombies.
Which, if they are zombies, that means this predates Night of the Living Dead. And I think there are a lot of concepts and lines of dialogue that is copied from this movie in the Night of the Living Dead. I mean, he had his brother walking around going, "Morgan, we're going to kill you, Morgan."
Huh.
I mean, that's, "We're coming to get you, Barbara." And they had bunkering down the house and everything. So
right.
I just, in some respects, this is kind of a proto-zombie movie.
Now, how did they handle it in the third version? Because I think I've seen that years ago, but I don't remember how that's handled.
I have not seen it.
The Omega Man.
I have not seen it.
That's Charlton Heston, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's a version of this too, but I don't think it's as quite as thrown together as Last Man on Earth and I Am Legend. I think they take a little different, but I don't remember it being quite as dark. I think it was more science fiction-y than, right. But I'd have to watch it. I haven't seen it in years.
But no, I enjoyed this. I'd say this is a good movie. I mean, you know, this is a...
If you want to be post-apocalyptically depressed, sure.
I think it's a good movie. I think, okay. Like you said, right now might not be the best time to watch it, but it is a good movie. And I think it's recommendable. I'm not going to go out and evangelize for it, but it's good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay.
It was better than Barbarella.
Do you think it was appropriate to cover in the 60s? Did we capture the zeitgeist of the
60s? I don't think it felt 60s, no.
No, okay.
I mean, there was no, you know, the 60s music wasn't there. The hippies weren't there. The crazy colors, I don't think it really... If you just showed that to me, I don't think I might be able to guess it was the 60s, but I thought it was like closer to the 50s.
Okay, I was good. Okay. Yeah, it kind of had some of that 50s drive-in movie theater feel to it.
Yep.
Okay, you're right, but okay. Well, let's get to our last movie. One that we've been waiting to talk about for quite some time. 2001, A Space Odyssey, a G rating, which we'll get into in a bit, 2 hour and 29 minute runtime, 8.3 on IMDb, 92 on the tomato meter, 89 from the audience score. Of course, directed by Stanley Kubrick, written by him and Arthur C. Clarke. It doesn't really matter who it stars because to me it doesn't matter to people. Yeah, it stars Hal.
Thank you, Dave.
Arguably, a lot of people will say it's one of the greatest movies ever made. It is number 15 on the AFI list. It's number 90 on the IMDb list. Do you want me to go first since you went first in the other two?
I don't care.
I'll go first. So first of all, I don't think it should be a G-rated movie. There's a killer robot and there's a monkey beating the shit out of another monkey with a bat, with a bone. This should be a PG rating.
Probably should have got PG, yeah.
This is the second time I've ever seen this movie. The first time, saw it years ago, did not have a good experience with it then. I knew two things about it going in the first time. I knew Hal, and I knew that you would always said that it was overrated. Oops. And so I didn't go in with a positive view, and I was younger.
Sorry.
That's okay. You weren't wrong. Here's what I will say this time. It's opulent. It's overly opulent. It's some of the worst things that I hate about movies. It's It loves the smell of its own farts.
It's pretentious, absolutely.
It's pretentious as hell. It's unconventional storytelling, and it uses its unconventional storytelling as an excuse for bad storytelling. But, and it's overly long and slow, and it moves at a glacial pace. But it is 1,000%. If it was just visually a visual medium, as far as like we're not trying to tell a story, we just want to make some pretty camera shots. A all day long, just gorgeous film, beautiful shots, captured what space is like from a just probably the closest thing that they've ever captured as far as what space is probably like. I like the grounded nature of that. There is a lot of good here. And then there's the final act, which we'll get to later. But I liked it much more this time, and I appreciated it much more this time, but the issues with it still stand. Your turn.
Well, I've seen it three times before this. So I tried, I'm going to give you some truth first. I tried to cheat and not watch it. what I decided I was going to do is, because I knew I've seen it three times, I'm going to watch some documentaries on it instead. Let me get some people to tell me exactly what I'm missing, what I need to be watching for. Spark me up. Let me know what's in Stanley Kubrick's head. So I did. I watched a couple of documentaries on it. One of them actually, what's the guy that wrote it with him, the scientist?
Arthur Clarke.
One of them was based, was his story. They had interviews with some of the stars. And what you just said, I mean, the showing me some of the unique ways that he got the shots that were not invented before this, and they had to, you know, really invent some clever ways to do the shooting and all that. I'm with you on that. Oh, absolutely, really some cool stuff. The pen, how they did the pen, I never could figure out. Do you know how they did the pen?
No, I didn't see how they did the pen.
The pen floating, they, you know, they didn't want to have a wire, because eventually somebody's going to see the wire. And it. So they just used a piece of clear plexiglass and glued it to one side of it, and then just kind of floated it around to where it looked like it. And they, you know, she came up and picked it up off there real lightly and done. It was just, but it was something that had never been done before. They hadn't done that. They hadn't figured that out. So, but I just can't get around how god-awful slow it is. The only part I like of this movie, I kind of like the monkeys in a way. I like the thing landing, and of course hearing Ric Flair and / Elvis Presley's music. Don't ask me to say it. It's the Alta Sparada or whatever it's called. I love the Blue Danube being used when they're doing the whole first time they're in flight, and the way it sounds. It's got the almost like the completely quiet all around it, except for that one little part of vocal that you can hear, and it sounds like space, and in a way she walks up and around the thing. So I like that little part with the Blue Danube. And then I like Hal. I think Hal was kind of cool, and I like the way he's paced his change, his metamorphosis. But the rest of that crap, especially that whole thing at the end with the aging and the looking at the thing and the baby, and I hated that. I don't know that was just terrible. I didn't get it. I didn't care. What am I missing?
And you're not wrong. My thing, I was thinking about it. I love the sets. I love the colors. I love the look and the lived-in universe that it creates. And I love the middle two.
You're sounding as pretentious as the film.
Well, you know, I did use the word opulent a few minutes ago, so
I know I ignored it. It's not going to become part of my lexicon.
Yes, I am sipping on red wine while I'm doing this, so you know, got to be a smart ass when I'm doing it.
You need to swill it a little more. You're just kind of drinking it. You gotta kind of swill it, man.
Yeah. Gotta taste those tannins. Anyway.
Is it nutty?
It's very, it's got nice legs and a nice deep
bouquet.
Yes. I just love the universe they created. Yes, because it feels like a natural projection of where we would have been. It's like, let's take where we are now, like this 60s kind of culture,
right,
freeze time in some respects, and then fast forward it 50 years. Like, freeze culture in some respects, and then fast forward into the future. And I like the look of it, and I love the shots, and I love all of that. It was just, I couldn't stop looking at it. But I just, that last,
you know, I saw two donkeys fucking one time, and I had the same feeling.
Yeah. Here's the thing with the last act. I think the last act, you remember in The Shining, Stanley Kubrick film, where there's a lot of good shit in The Shining. Where, you know, it's ominous, and he does mood correctly, and his people, the way Stanley Kubrick's people talk, and because they people don't talk like people in Stanley Kubrick films. They talk like Stanley Kubrick actors. It's right. A weird thing. He has a certain way. He did all of that. He did all the things he did right in some respects in The Shining in this movie. The issue he did was in The Shining, there's one weird fuck up. Where you see a dog sucking a guy's dick, and it's just one shot. The issue is he decided to make that like a 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Like that one weird idea he had and made it 30 minutes of a movie.
Right.
So that's the thing. I think Stanley Kubrick does mood and setting and suspense well, especially suspense where there's isolation. Yeah. He doesn't do weird well, and that's the issue. Is he tried to do more weird here? I've heard a lot of the views. You know, it's man versus technology, and we have to get to the monolith so that we can conquer what technology has made us. The monolith, yes, that's what it's called. It's a monolith. I'm not being
somebody who's been using their word of the day calendar they got for Christmas.
It's called a monolith. That's what it's called. That is in universe. That is in kayfabe terminology. I like that. I mean, I get the idea of that. Of man versus technology. And technology has made us these evil beings. And it could have been done a little bit better. I need a little bit tighter structure. I like some of the stuff with the monkeys in the beginning of the movie. It's a little long. Uh-huh. And I don't think he did a good job of relating the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. Because it's so different.
Here's the problem with the monkeys.
It's funny as shit. In
1968, Planet of the Apes came out, and they looked like monkeys. I don't know what these things were. Those were horrible.
These look good.
Now, here's the brilliance of this movie. I will now give you the brilliance. The brilliance of this movie is the fact that they put together an actual film from all the pieces that were left over and on the ground from filming the fake moon landing.
Impressive.
If they had not filmed that fake moon landing and had all this other stuff and then decide, hey, look at all this wasted film, let's make a movie out of it and stuck it together, that's the brilliance.
I actually saw a joke about that. I was listening to Unspooled, which is a movie podcast, and they covered it. And they said, yeah, if Stanley Kubrick would have faked the moon landing, he would have made it look a lot better.
Yeah, this is true.
He would have made it look like shit.
I would have felt that flag being... Yeah.
That's right.
And he would have figured out some way for that flag to wave.
That's right. But... So I guess I'm more conflicted about this movie now than originally I was like, oh, hot take, contrarian, it's a piece of shit. Now I'm much more conflicted about my opinion on it. Because of this, there is so much good shit here.
And I didn't throw in. I did watch it after those things because I didn't feel I had done it justice. Plus the things they pointed out, I wanted to go look at. I still think it's way overrated. It's not my favorite Stanley Kubrick movie. If don't ever watch the sequel.
Yeah, what is that?
It's more confusing than this one, if I remember correctly. I have only seen it once, and I'm not sure why I saw it, but I did. And it's bad. This is on a must-watch list.
Yes.
I'll say you should watch this. Absolutely. Because you've got to figure out for yourself if you like it or not. Don't listen to two morons on a podcast, on anyone's podcast. This isn't up to anyone except for you. You got to watch it. You got to know if you feel something from it, if you understand it, if you can come up with your own feeling of what it means. Don't listen to anyone on this one. You have to watch it.
Did you see some of the trivia or some of the behind the scenes, or not some behind the scenes, the weird universe stuff about Hal?
I read and watched a lot, so I'm
There's a lot of different things. There's obviously the monolith, which is kind of everywhere. There's right. a lot of focus on birthdays in this movie. The opening scene, I was listening to some people. I did not come up with this. I listened to some people who are much smarter than I. The opening of the film is the Dawn of Man.
Right.
In the second section, he's wishing his daughter happy birthday. In the third section, they wish the kid happy birthday, and we talk about Hal's birthday, his operational date. And then, of course, at the end of the movie, there's a rebirth. So there's a lot of, like, birthday stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff, of course, man versus technology. And someone I saw said that basically, one theory was the idea of the movie is that we've been – technology made us evil and corrupt and started to make us socially distant. Technology made us lose our humanity. And the character at the end of the movie, when he decides to kill Hal, he's regaining humanity wins. And it's basically a race between the technology and humanity and who's going to reach the monolith, which is basically like a god in some respects. And who's going to win, technology or humanity? And I thought that was interesting.
See, maybe that's my problem. I don't think humanity should have won. Look at what we've done with it. You know what's scary? And I'm sure you read this and saw this. The fact that it premiered in New York, and after it premiered, Kubrick took it back in and cut 19 minutes out of it before it went to normal theaters. There's another almost 20 minutes of this thing that people saw the first time around.
Can we talk about the most pretentious part about this film? It's a movie that's less than 3 hours that has an intermission.
Maybe that's when it was the other 20 minutes was on it. They put it in there.
Maybe. But there's a couple interesting things. One, apparently Stanley Kubrick was very big into aliens. The monolith was originally supposed to be aliens. Then they said no. Then he decided, I'm going to do a clear plastic, like a plexiglass thing for the monolith. Couldn't get that to work on screen, made it the black monolith. Apparently, he was very concerned, because, of course, this movie came out at the right time. We're in the space race.
Right.
He was very concerned about aliens landing on Earth. And he tried to go to Lords of London with an insurance policy to say, basically, like, if aliens land on Earth, no one's going to give a shit about my movie because part of my movie is about the unknown of space. And he tried to get an insurance policy to cover his ass. They did not accept it. But
I'm surprised. It's things that they have covered over in Lloyd's.
So that was interesting. One of the things I did notice and I had to have explained to me, when they're playing chess, did you see about that?
Something, but I'm trying to remember what it was now.
So when Hal and the guy are playing chess, Hal actually cheats and tells him he did something he didn't do, basically. And it's supposed to be, there have been several readings into that. One is that it's supposed to be your cue that this robot is.
Oh, absolutely.
Or two, it's him testing them to see if they'll catch it. And then when they F up and they don't catch his bluff, he goes, well, I guess I got to take over because you all didn't catch that.
He at that point decided he was the head, head of the whole thing.
Which apparently Stanley Kubrick, when back when he was rich, before he was rich and famous, he used to go and play chess for hours for money. So that was interesting. But just a lot of weird things like that. In our future, currently, apparently there was a big lawsuit a few years ago that Apple tried to sue Samsung because they made an iPad, you know, a tablet. And they tried to argue that that shape and idea was a Apple original idea and patented. And they actually used this movie where there are tablets in it and said, yeah, this was an idea back here. So, no, it's not. just a lot of – and, I mean, there's a lot of things he got right. I mean, the two guys are sitting at dinner table together, both watching the little iPads, not talking to each other. So
utopia.
it's a fascinating movie. I tried to watch. There's a million different. Someone said, I think if you type in like, and this was a few years ago, if you type in like Space Odyssey, there's like over a million hits on Google when you search because so many people have just taught this movie to death, and it's been studied and all that. It is like I said, it's absolutely a must watch. And take what you will from it. I did find it interesting, apparently, how the guy who did Hal, apparently Stanley Kubrick had watched a movie called The Universe, which I think was a documentary, and he was did the commentary for that, and he really enjoyed it. Apparently, he filmed his lines for Hal, and it took him like 40 minutes. Like it took him like less than 2 hours to do all his recordings for the movie.
Careful with your spelling. I just tried that thing you said. And I apparently typed in Space Oddities, and that's a whole other movie. Don't watch
that.
That's
a whole other, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think the movie holds up. I think it's beautiful.
I'm not as impressed with beauty of it as you are. Maybe if I take, okay, it's 1968, but I don't know. I just think
I think it holds up today.
Huh?
I think it holds up today.
Yeah? I don't think it's, I don't know.
Of the big three, which I'm going to call them, as far as the big greatest movies ever made, quote unquote, that we have watched for this show, Citizen Kane, Lawrence of Arabia, 2001, I think this is far and away.
Whoa, wait a minute. Lawrence of Arabia is over Gone with the Wind?
Okay, Gone with the Wind. Yes.
Okay.
But of the three we've had issues with, because I think we both liked Gone with the Wind. I think this is the best of those.
No, I like the Wind better.
No, I mean between Lawrence of Arabia, Citizen Kane, and 2001.
Whew.
Because I'm assuming you prefer.
That's like I don't know. That's kind of like caring if the fleas are on my dog or my cat. They're still gonna get on me. That's not like a Dr. Phil saying. I think I just came up with that one too. I don't know. Citizen Kane's out of the running. I just thought I'd put that in there. Lawrence of Arabia or this. I'm gonna this because I'd much rather be in space than in a desert.
Or you can do both and watch Star Wars. I have one last big thing before we end this. I think there are three, another big three, if you will, science fiction movies of this era. You know, you have Space Odyssey, you have Planet of the Apes, which came out the same year, and then obviously a few years later, you have Star Wars. And those are the big...
10 years later.
Well, yeah, but those are the three that legitimize science fiction.
Okay.
as a genre. And I'm going to, this is a Star Wars plug here. I think Planet of the Apes does the philosophy and storytelling of science fiction great. I think 2001 does like the in-universe feel and look and visuals of science fiction great. I think Star Wars, the magic of Star Wars is it was able to combine both of them.
All right. I'm good with that.
Okay.
I'm one of those weird people that I don't, you'll tell me I'm wrong again. I don't consider Planet of the Apes a science fiction movie.
They fly on a spaceship, time travel, and then there's talking monkeys.
It's not science fiction.
What is it?
I don't know. It's its own individual. It needs its own classification.
It's post-apocalyptic.
No. I don't know what it is, but I don't. I mean, I know it is science fiction. Of course it's science fiction, but I don't consider it. If you were to ask me what's a great science fiction film, that one never pops into my head. And it's probably because it's very little in space. It's very little. You only have to think about that time thing for like a moment. You only have to see the space thing for a moment. It's mainly about a society of monkeys where everything's been flipped around. And let's call it an alternate universe. So, yeah, it's all science fiction. Of course it is. But it's, to me, I don't ever think of it as science fiction for some reason.
Science fiction in space.
I like science fiction in space and
robots.
Yeah, robots, pew pew pews, and you know, lasers and lightsabers and the Enterprise and
pew so. Pew pew. Are you Usain Bolt?
What's that?
Are you no. Usain Bolt? Da-dum-tsh.
That's bad.
That's a good one. Speaking, that's a timely joke.
Speaking of Enterprise and space and science fiction,
yes.
Do you agree with William Shatner?
What did William Shatner say?
William Shatner is arguing, and he's actually, this isn't just William Shatner making jokes on Twitter. He is actually upset and does not understand why Space Force is not following the Navy chain of command like it's supposed to, like they didn't, and are following, you do agree with him?
Yes. He wants them to follow. If he wants them to be admirals and stuff like that,
he would. I mean, and he's actually got this whole supposal, this whole write up about it, this whole thing that he is submitting to them, and wants an answer as to why they have totally gone against the way it should be. He doesn't like that they're changing the ranks and they're following. They're not following the Navy's ranking system.
I agree.
I agree too. What's Shatner? Of course he's right.
I mean, gosh.
Takei's added again.
You're in charge of a ship.
Exactly. And that's his whole point. It's not an Air Force, it's a ship. Takei's added again.
Yeah.
He's on Shatner again. Shatner just is really done with him.
Oh, man. Mm-mm-mm. Well. Next week.
Wait a minute. We didn't talk about one whole thing.
The end of the movie?
Well, yeah. I know you mentioned it kind of that it, you know, that's what it meant, but why is the aging, and then is he watching, whose rebirth is he watching?
His own. I think he entered like a weird time portal. Not time ported. He entered like an alternate dimension.
Okay.
Where I'm assuming, and here's my interpretation. I think the monolith was like the overseer of the universe. Okay.
That's blasphemy.
Yes. And when he died and had his rebirth, he took over said position. So I think he went there, he had this weird, where he was living out the rest of his life, died. And I think that's what that's because to me, it's who's going to get there. Is Hal? Are we going to have another monolith? Or are we going to have a Star Baby? Who's going to be in control of overseeing the universe? And so he has become the overseer now.
Yeah, I think he was just making a fake moon landing movie.
He was trying to cover his ass.
I mean, he imported, what, like 13 million things of sand to make the moon land, the front of the surface of the moon. Sums up. Then he taunts us with that damn rocket ship on sweater on Danny in The Shining. That's just taunting us.
In room 23, whatever, 7. Which was lot 237 where he filmed it. What was the name of that documentary, Room 237, that was all about why? That's a good documentary. I mean, it's bullshit. That is a good documentary.
Well, some of it's not completely about that. It's you know about Kubrick, but it's a lot. Yeah, it's.
Do we want to go ahead and have our Kubrick discussion?
No.
Why do people just so? Doctor Strangelove.
Which I toyed with that one so bad to throw in there on us, but I just couldn't do it because I hate that.
There were a couple ones you could have done.
There was a couple what?
There are two other ones you could have done from the 60s.
I probably went through them all. What's the other ones you're thinking of?
He could have done Spartacus.
I did think of Spartacus.
Lolita.
And I did look at Lolita, but I thought Lolita hits close to home.
I've never seen Lolita.
I've lived Lolita, so I don't. Really, it's actually about me. So yeah, what are you gonna do?
So anyway, I just looked at the plot of it. I didn't know what it was about.
Oh, I didn't know you didn't know what it was about.
I don't know. I just knew it was a Stanley Kubrick film. That's all I knew.
It's got James Mason. And I don't do a good James Mason like Gilbert Godfrey does. I should have asked you. When we met Gilbert Godfrey, I should have said, do your James Mason for me. Because he does the best James Mason impression.
This is our second Stanley Kubrick film. I'm assuming you prefer to the other one.
What was the other one?
A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. I'm not a Stanley Kubrick mark. And I'm not saying that he's not brilliant. He's brilliant in his own mind and the people that understand him. I don't understand. His stuff is. That's why I kind of like The Shining, because with the exception of the scene you mentioned earlier and some other stuff, I at least could kind of follow The Shining, because you could easily explain the weirdness as, well, the guy was going out of his mind. So you can throw in whatever you want.
Right.
So, you know.
Okay. Well, for next week, we are watching Disney Plus movies only from the Disney Plus
universe.
Universe.
And why are we doing Disney Plus?
Well, because on Friday, September 4th, Mulan, the new Mulan, the much, much waited, delayed because of COVID, etc.
Anticipated. Mulan,
yes, anticipated, is finally coming out. So that'll be our main feature. So if you don't want to hear spoilers for that, you probably need to go watch it. But anyway, that'll be our main feature. We did.
Is there going to be any spoilers? And everybody know the story of Mulan?
I would assume so. If you want to get caught up on what Mulan's about, you can go listen to our episode from earlier in the year where we covered the animated Mulan.
That's right.
Because we had covered it in anticipation of this one coming out. So we're going to do the live action Mulan and then two other movies from Disney Plus. No Marvel, no Star Wars. What is your movie?
Well, I got to go first. No.
All right, I'll go first. But you said you thought you could narrow down what I was going to pick. So, sir.
Yeah, I've forgotten all those now. I told you, I looked at, I mean, I was like, all right, he's not going to give me an easy one like the Ducks or the Heavyweights or something like that. So I don't know, but I'll go first. I don't care.
Okay.
You're gonna watch Stuntman Mike's movie, The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes, with Kurt Russell.
That's hilarious, because I have picked a Disney movie from that same era. Ish.
Gus.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. So I thought about, let me say what I thought about. I thought about picking The Rocketeer, because I love The Rocketeer. But
I didn't see that one, or I would have definitely thought of that one.
It's on there. But to me, I'm going to save that for probably one of my birthday ones. And I think The Rocketeer deserves to probably be a main feature. But anyway, so I decided to pick a movie from my childhood, not really from my childhood, but I had a VHS of it. You're going to watch The Cat from Outer Space.
I'm assuming that was remade, right? You mean or is it That Darn Cat that they remade?
That Darn Cat was remade. Okay. The Cat from Outer Space, I believe there's only one of.
Dean Jones, isn't it?
I don't remember. It's from 1978, so it is, again, okay. This is like that weird, there's that weird area of Disney that sucks.
I watched every Disney movie, because not only did those come out in theaters. Okay, here's why, because that's my childhood there, from, you know, born in 68, yes. So 78 is when that was the Disney blockbuster movies then, were those kind of movies, the Ugly Dachshund and the duck that laid the eggs or whatever. Yeah, Ugly Dachshund, all those, the Top Dog. And so anyway, they came out in theaters, no one saw them. Then the following summer, they showed those for like the dollar movies for kid summer movies, you know, where you used to go see for free and or a dollar. And then it used to be every Sunday was Disney's Sunday night when they had the Wide World of Disney, Wonderful World of Disney, whatever it was. And they showed those. So you usually saw those maybe three or four times while you were a kid. So I've seen all those. Yes. Dean Jones.
And what I... it is I just had it up. Where is it? Cat from Outer Space. Ken Berry, Sandy
Ken
Duncan.
Ken Berry, that's right. I'm sorry. That's Vince from Mama's Family, or RFKD from Mayberry. He moved into Mayberry.
You remember who else is in the Cat from Outer Space? He was in a movie we've talked about several times today. On a side note,
I don't remember.
Roddy McDowell's in it.
I love Roddy McDowell. Underrated actor.
Yes, well, we will get into that next week. But yes, I'm. It's very interesting. I thought about picking Rocketeer. I thought about picking The Ugly Dachshund. I thought about picking one of the ones that aren't really Disney, but are owned by Disney now, like an Avatar or something like that. But I was like, we got to go classic Disney.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pick, you know, Cinderella or something.
Went Gus. I don't know if you know Gus. He was the football kicking mule. Don Knotts is in it. Of course, I'm a Don Knotts man. But then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Kurt Russell was in that one. It might have been I don't know if it was his first movie, but it might have been.
I'm pulling it up right now.
First kind of big movie.
I think it was his first like starring role. And I can't remember what it's called.
So I had to go with our boy Kurt Russell.
Absolutely. I actually saw that, and I thought about picking that as well, but I thought you might think that I would pick it.
I thought I was going to get Heavyweight or something like that, or the Mighty Ducks.
No, that's another main feature on its own, standalone. D2,
baby. All right, I'm done with you.
Well, that sounds good. Enjoy your evening. Are you going to go watch these lovely movies?
Well, I've already watched mine, and of course, Mulan's not out yet.
Yeah.
Well,
you can knock.
I might go watch Peninsula.
Ooh, I might do that too now that you said that.
Not unless you're coming up.
It's on Shudder, right?
Oh, and I don't think it's coming on Shudder till like December.
Shit, never mind. Well, that's all right.
I got a screener sent to me.
That's because you're the good one. They don't like me.
I'm the man.
Well,
So
good
anyway,
stuff.
good stuff.
See you all next week for Disney Plus. For a slight programming note, the week after that, we're going to be doing a weird mix of movies. It's going to be a Netflix original, a Hulu original, and an Amazon Prime original. So
And
we will
I
highlight
already
that.
have watched yours on that one.
And you have Hulu, right?
No. Yes, Hulu. Yes.
Yes. Netflix will be the main feature, Hulu, and then I have picked your Amazon Prime. I have not watched it, but I've picked it out.
But have you picked our main event?
I have not. I'm going to go through and look because I mean we've already watched one of the big ones, which is Bird Box. We did that when that came
Well,
out.
I got a suggestion. If I don't
What's
think
that?
you've watched either one, either. And again, you take or leave it. That's just something I was thinking about. And now I'm not gonna be able to come up with the titles of them. The new Jamie Foxx one, the power thing, or Bright. Have you seen Bright?
I've never seen either one of those.
I haven't either, and that's why I was like, okay, this will force. I'm definitely watching the Jamie Foxx one probably this weekend because I kind of think it looks good. But then what I was thinking about, I was like, oh, we could use that for our Netflix. And I was like, oh, I never watched Bright either. So, and you can look through and find something else is fine. Those are two to put
No,
in consideration.
we'll do one of those. We'll do one of those.
Well, we
So
don't
let's
like
do.
that.
No, I like that idea.
All right.
Let's do Project Power because you said that you're gonna watch it anyway.
Well, now I want to watch the other one.
Well, let's do Bright. There
I
you go. Problem solved.
don't want to watch that.
All right, let's watch Project Power.
That's Will Smith, right? Right.
Yeah, Will Smith.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's it. That's it. Well, we will see you all next week on a podcast named Tim. Goodbye.